Last Sunday, I spoke on the topic of envy. And if you remember, I called it the curse of comparison, because no matter how you compared yourself to others, if you got into the comparison game, you were always bound to lose. You always come up short. Comparing ourselves is certainly not a good thing. It hurts. It doesn't help. This morning, I want to speak about another deadly attitude, is what I'm calling them, or D-attitude. You've heard of the B-attitudes, right? Well, we're going to talk about some D-attitudes. And you might wonder, well, what are D-attitudes? Well, D-attitudes are simply deadly attitudes that destroy relationships. That's what they are. Now, don't bother looking it up in a dictionary because it's not there. I just made that up. But as Nora would say, you need to liberate your sense of semantics, okay? And you'll see that it makes perfect sense. D-attitudes destroy relationships, both our relationship with God and our relationships with our fellow man, wherever we go. First, we looked last week at envy, the curse of comparison. This morning, we're going to look at a second such D-attitude, bitterness. Bitterness. It doesn't take long to run into people who have experienced bitterness. And whenever people talk about bitterness, they seem to readily bring up some terrible experiences that they've had. Some of these might seem familiar to you. Some of them might be very personal to you or to someone you know. There's a child who remembers the day her mother walked out of the house, never to return home. There's the man who was wrongly accused at his job and was fired from the job that he needed and loved. Bitterness. There's the church that was split into two factions over some trivial matters. Caused bitterness. There's a parent who is grieving over the death of their child, killed over by a drunk driver. There's a family that is torn apart because of squabbling over an inheritance. Bitterness. There's the wife who finds her husband unfaithful or the other way around, causing bitterness. And there's the friend who's turned against his friend after being so close to one another. These and many other situations are tragic situations that almost inevitably lead to bitterness. You walk around and talk to people, it doesn't take long to find people who are deeply embittered. People who have deep hurts. Hurts that linger and carry on. Some of you have no trouble relating to bitterness. You've tasted it, and it still tastes foul within you. You understand how easy it is to become bitter. The pain, the heartache is incredible. The rejection, the disappointment, the letdown, it hurts. And every now and then you hear of people who have held on to bitterness for years and years. Some of you may have known people who didn't talk to each other. Siblings who wouldn't talk to each other for years, because of something that happened years and years ago. They might not even remember what it was that happened. All they know is they're bitter against them. It happens all the time. Parents and children who won't talk. Friends who part ways and who hold a grudge. It's really a nasty, nasty thing. Bitterness becomes a poison to the soul. It destroys us from within. And while it's been said before, it is true, it's like a cancer. once it gets started, it usually doesn't get better on its own. It only deepens and spreads and hurts the one who's holding on to bitterness. Some of the examples of bitterness are rather extreme, like the ones I shared a few moments ago, but they're not always like that. You see, it's not the bigness of the event that causes bitterness, but it's the closeness of the person that causes bitterness. When you're close to somebody, you have high expectations, and when something goes wrong, you start to become bitter. And so it's not always the big events, it's even small events. For example, this I hope is just a hypothetical situation, but for example, you may have been in the hospital and I didn't come to visit you. You may think to yourself, well, that Pastor Norman, he didn't come and visit me when I was in the hospital. What's wrong with him? Why are you laughing? And you get angry at me. You get angry at me. You might begin to think that I don't want to visit you. You might remember a time that you brought something to potluck and I didn't eat it. And that adds up to the fact that I didn't come and visit you in the hospital. And then you come to church and I didn't greet you personally at the door, either on your way in or on your way out. And before you've known it, you've created a whole situation that you believe is true. And what, step by step, little by little, you become bitter against this guy over here. And you think, what's wrong with him? Whereas I may not even have known you were in the hospital, or who knows whatever else might have happened. We need to guard against those little things. It's not just the big, it's also the little. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and you know it. It says, love does not envy. We talked about envy last week. Love does not envy because love and envy contradict one another. Likewise, love does not keep record of wrongs. There's a reason why Paul wrote that to the Corinthians, because it was an issue. It needed to be said. Love does not keep record of wrongs, because if we keep record of wrongs, we can't possibly love. When we keep a record of wrongs, we are embracing bitterness. We are sowing the seeds of bitterness. When we remember, so-and-so did this to me back then, and dwell on that and hold on to that and not let that go, we are sowing the seeds of bitterness. Paul writes, love does not keep record of wrongs. Love does not envy. Envy, bitterness, they are contrary to love. Love and envy can't go together. Neither can love and bitterness. God wants us to love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's why it says, do not envy. Do not become bitter. Let's take a look at that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. You see, it's not like things don't happen to cause us to be bitter. Paul isn't assuming that you'll never be tempted with bitterness. But he says, get rid of it. Don't let it accumulate. Don't let it build up. The same message is given in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. See to it that no one misses the grace of God. Isn't that great, the grace of God? And that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. If we allow a bitter root to grow up within us, we're going to miss out on the grace of God, the peace of God, the love of God. Who suffers then? You might be angry at so-and-so. You might be bitter against so-and-so. But who's suffering when you're bitter? It's the one who's bitter. Because they're missing out on the grace, the peace of God in their lives. We hurt ourselves. We don't hurt anybody else. It's interesting that in Hebrews 12, bitterness is described as a root that grows and causes trouble. And the thing about roots, and I'm sure you're well aware of this, is they often spread undetected. They're underground. They're unseen. You know, you can look at my lawn. It's not much to look at. But after I mow down the dandelions, okay, it looks fairly green. And it looks reasonable. And, you know, the person who's just passing by might say, hey, that's a fairly good, reasonable lawn. But I know that there are lots of roots of the weeds there. And it's only a matter of time before they spring up and cause all kinds of things to show up again that people don't seem to like. Bitterness is like that. It keeps growing and spreading. On the surface, somebody might come to church or walk down the street and they might appear reasonable and things are in order and so on and so forth, but deep down, they're not. They're poisoned. And sooner or later, the poison in the soul comes up to the surface. And it comes forth in resentment and anger and hatred and many other things. It's been said that a bitter root results in bitter fruit. And some of the fruit of bitterness include all kinds of emotional problems, resentment, depression, mistrust, broken relationships, and probably even some physical illnesses besides. That's the fruit of bitterness. It is indeed bitter. We need to guard against that. The question you might ask is, how do I know if I'm bitter? Well, you probably know anyway. But there are two things that can help us to, in a sense, diagnose bitterness. Okay? So bear with me. I'm no professional psychologist or anything like that. But this is what I believe are a couple of ways we can find out if we are bitter. First of all, bitter people remember the fine details surrounding the events that caused bitterness. Okay? They remember the what you would consider is insignificant, but they remember the fine details. For example, you might remember as a five-year-old child the exact dress and hat that your mother was wearing when she walked out the door, never to return home. Okay, you might remember that. You might remember the color, the style. All that might be ingrained in your memory. You might remember the time of the day of the week, whether it was sunny or rainy. And all those details are part of your memory because it has been very painful. And it has held on to you. And so quite often, bitter people will remember the details, the fine details surrounding an event that caused bitterness. And secondly, bitter people will often nurse and rehearse their wounds repeatedly. Now, please forgive me, I'm not trying to hurt anybody, but people who are bitter will usually repeat the story of their hurt, either to themselves or to others, so that it is always fresh. It's almost like they don't want to. Sometimes they say they can't help it. They can't let it go. And it's not easy to let go. I'll admit that. But at the same time, sometimes we embrace it by keep bringing it back. For example, you might have been fired at a job once in your life. And every time somebody mentions a job loss, it will bring back feelings of anger and resentment and bitterness within you. That's what bitter people will do. How do I know if I'm bitter? Do I remember those details? Do I keep bringing them up? Do I hold on to it? If you do, chances are you have struggled or are struggling with bitterness. Lastly, I want to ask the question, is there any hope? Well, you know the answer to that. Of course there is. There is always hope. Right after, this is interesting, right after Paul wrote to the Ephesians and told them to get rid of all bitterness, he gave them the remedy in the next verse. He said, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be kind and compassionate with one another, forgiving each other. How? How can I forgive? How is that possible? Well, he tells you, just as Christ has forgiven you. Not easy to do. I'm not standing here for one moment and suggesting that this is easy stuff. Because those who have had reason to be bitter know how hard it is, how deep it hurts. But this is the answer. This is the remedy. Whether it's easy or not, if we're going to live as God's people, we need to follow God's way. And His way is clear. Be kind and compassionate, even to those who hurt me. Well, what would Jesus say? Forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Doesn't mean that you need to go back and put yourself in a situation where you'll be hurt again. But in your heart, you can forgive. Sometimes people have long since passed away, and you still hold on to that bitterness. Even then, you need to forgive. You can almost be certain that where there is bitterness, there is unforgiveness. And where there is unforgiveness, there will be bitterness. You can see it again. Bitterness and love, they contradict one another. William Ward said it well. He said, forgiveness is the key that unlocks the door of resentment and the handcuffs of hate. It is the power that breaks the chains of bitterness and the shackles of selfishness. That's a great quote. I have no idea who William Ward is, but I like what he said. Forgiveness is the key that unlocks the doors of resentment, the handcuffs of hate. It is the power that breaks the chains of bitterness and the shackles of selfishness. You know, one of the songs we sing, it talks about the blood of Christ breaking the power of canceled sin by forgiving us. Forgiving us is what broke that. He gave His life. Jesus gave His life for us. He died for us. He forgave us all our sins. Forgiveness is not always easy, and oftentimes it is undeserved. Most of the times it's not even requested or asked for. But unless we forgive, we ourselves are going to be poisoned with bitterness in our soul. That's the sad thing. It doesn't hurt anyone but ourselves. I once read about a very bitter man who was sick in soul, mind, and body. He was in the hospital in wretched condition, not because his body had been invaded by a virus or infected with some germ, but because his anger and contempt had poisoned his soul. One day when he was at his lowest, he said to his nurse, "Nurse, won't you give me something to end it all?" Much to the man's surprise, the nurse said, "All right, I will." And she went over to the nightstand and pulled out a Gideon Bible and began to read. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." And when she finished, she said, "There, if you will believe that, it will end it all. God loves you, forgives you, and accepts you as His child. And it is the love of God that sets us free from the trap of bitterness. It is the grace of God. It has to be, because the pain sometimes is too much. But God's grace, God's love, is greater still." That's our hope for today. God loves you. God forgives you. God accepts you as His child, and He wants to bring you and your past to Him. He wants you to bring your sorrow. He wants you to bring your pain to Him. He wants you to trust Him with it. Release them to Him and turn around and forgive the ones who have hurt you. It's the only way we can be set free. And God wants us to be free. Free from the chains of bitterness that hold us back, that tangle us up, that cause us further pain and destroy peace and destroy relationship with God. But it comes, we get free when we release it to God, when we turn to the Lord. And if you're struggling with bitterness today and you don't know how to be set free from that, talk to the Lord. Come to Him. Ask God to help you. Admit to Him, "God, I'm struggling with this. I struggled with this for 5, 10, 30, 50, or 70 years, and I don't want it anymore." Just come to Him and ask Him to help you. You can't forgive. Ask Him to help you to forgive. God is ready and willing to set us free. God is ready and willing to do things in our lives so that we can be the men and women and youth that God wants us to be. And by His grace, it can be so. So this morning, as we close the service, I just want to encourage you. If there is something in your life that has just weighed down heavy upon you and dragged you away, a bitter root, I just want to encourage you to turn that to the Lord. If you want to pray about it, feel free to come and kneel at an altar of prayer. It's not a shame to come to the Lord and say, "God, I need You. I need You." And if you need Him today, come to Him and He will help. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we do ask, Lord, that You would be with us this morning. As we reflect upon some of the situations in our lives, Lord, that have caused deep hurt, Lord, I pray that You would be with us. I pray, Lord God, that if there's bitterness, Lord God, that You would just help us to turn that to You. Just to admit it, Lord, to seek You, Father God, because bitterness will just destroy us, Father. Help us, Lord, to be people who are free. Help us, Lord, to be people who walk with You, Lord God. And I just pray, Lord, that You would speak to us now. And if there's any here this morning who are struggling, Lord, may they come to You, Lord. May they find peace in You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.